Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Okay, so let's move straight away to somebody who can't join us for the bulk of the program, but his input is always essential when we start talking about Fly Me to the Moon, especially this Ipswich Town number. We're speaking, of course, of Sean Rye. Sean, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Now, clearly, I'm not going to talk about that Elland Road experience, but, you know, we've also had the news that Tony Mowbray is now available, and it probably actually is an interesting comparison between our near neighbours up in Wearside and, of course, our Yorkshire neighbours to see how they're coping with respect to managerial changes. Sunderland, of course, exactly the same number of points as Middlesbrough, decided that Mowbray had to go. Do you think they might have made a wrong mistake, or do you think, well, who cares anyway?
To be fair, I was staggered by the news, if I'm honest. I'm not really sure what the expectation is or was from the board. I didn't really see that many murmurs of discontent from the fans. Maybe there were a few. As we've spoken about before, they've got, similar to Boris, a similar recruitment model in that they recruit a lot of young players. And I think Mowbray was getting quite a good tune from a lot of them. I mean, there's some very talented players in that squad. He was a little bit outspoken about the striker position. I think he felt that there was maybe room for one or two more experienced operators in there, but Mogger's nothing if not honest. And I think he was just explaining what predicament he's in. So yeah, a massive shock for me.
Well, again, speaking managers, of course, one manager who's possibly exceeded expectations is the current incumbent of Ipswich Town, who, of course, are the focus of this sequence. I mean, I don't like the phrase mid-table mediocrity, because I think actually Borough are a lot better than that. But this is, again, one of those games where actually a statement win, just as, of course, the win against Leicester City was very much a statement win, could really reignite the whole festive period and set Borough on course for some good scenarios. What are your thoughts? I mean, are you quietly optimistic, or do you think as though, well, you know, we're going to have to be pretty careful because Ipswich Town have proved to be quite an interesting team this season?
I mean, such has been our form that I do feel optimistic. I mean, we've beaten Leicester, as you said. We've beaten Southampton. On another day in that crazy kamikaze game against Leeds, we might have got something. So, frustratingly, in one sense, I feel like we actually raise our game for the so-called bigger teams or the teams towards the top end of the table. And frustrating as it is, we seem to sort of drop our guard a little bit with the, you know, maybe lesser teams, if that's a fair assessment. But on in terms of Ipswich Town, they just keep on week after week, and maybe I'm alone in this, but I just keep thinking there's going to be a period where they drop or they have a sticky patch, but they just keep churning out wins. And of course, in that midfield engine room, they've got two former Borough players in there, in Sammy Morsey and Massimo Luongo, who I think only got one game under Chris Wilder. But yeah, they're doing fantastic. They're certainly overachieving, but it will be interesting to see, you know, the managerial merry-go-round and what happens and whether McKenna is tempted or not.
Well, I mean, talking predictions, of course, I don't think anybody actually anticipated a 3-2 reversal against Bristol City followed by a 4-0 thrashing of Preston North End. Is it the cliche of in the Championship? Quite frankly, anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, without getting too frustrated, because it is enjoyable to watch us at the moment and we are an exciting team, I do think sometimes that can be tinged with a little bit of naivety and maybe in game management and stuff like that. I mean, there's been a few occasions where we have either got back into the game and we've looked in control, or we've went ahead in games and looked like the only team that can win it, only to sort of lose one at the other end. I mean, Bristol City was a case in point where we clawed it back to 2-2 and then let them go down the other end when we looked like the only team that were in the game. Similarly with Leeds, a good early start. And they do say you're most vulnerable just after you've scored yourself, because you sort of lose concentration. And so was the case early on in the game with Leeds. But yeah, maybe Maybe just a couple of leaders and a couple of old heads that are missing would have maybe just calmed it down, you know, take stock and sort of reset again. But that's life as a Borough fan, isn't it?
Well, before we actually gather again, of course, and we'll have the rest of the team with their own thoughts on the sequence, which will be just ahead, of course, of the festive 23rd of December game against West Bromwich Albion, another one of Tony Mowbray's old sides. Let's go through some of your thoughts in terms of scores and predictions from your own perspective, Sean. Starting off with Middlesbrough's Ipswich Town, what are you going to go for?
Well, as good a form as they're in, Ipswich have won only one of their last five away games, so I'm hoping that's a little bit of a indicator for us. I'm going to go 2-0 Borough.
Excellent. And, of course, we have Hull City coming up on the 13th of December. Your thoughts about the Tigers? Obviously going to be mauled by Rory the Lion, I would have thought.
Yeah. I think that will be a tough game. I'd like a win, and obviously I'm hoping to be proved wrong. I think that might be a draw, that one, maybe 1-1.
Okay. And we won't go down the line of the quarterfinals of the EFL Cup as yet, because I don't want to jinx anything besides, you know, as far as continue march on to Carabao. But what about the battle against the Swans? Whilst we're talking, we've had Tractor Boys, we've got Tigers, have on the 16th of December, 3 days, and we already commented about, obviously, the rapid turnover of fixtures, etc. 3 days after the home game against Hull City. What are your thoughts against Swansea City's match against Borough?
Yeah, I think we've got a good chance against Swansea again. They're another club that are on that managerial merry-go-round looking for someone to come in. Hopefully they don't get that sort of honeymoon period, as hopefully they're still looking around for someone and got the caretaker in charge. But yeah, I fancy a strong win in that one, maybe 3-1.
I'm intrigued that, according to head of football Kieran Scott, Middlesbrough faith in head coach Michael Carrick never wavered. Which actually sort of does tend to show that, you know, we look back obviously at the start of the season, well, the very long start of the season, and clearly at this particular stage, systems are looking fairly positive from that point of view. Obviously, you proved right, Sean. You know, make haste slowly. Sean, it's been awesome connecting with you, good self. We will obviously connect with you again for the next Fly Me to the Moon package. Do you, though, have any festive message you'd like to share with Borough fans at this moment?
I'd just like to wish each and every Borough fan a very Merry Christmas and hopefully a happy Footy Fest. Festival, if that's the word. Yeah, let's hope for many wins.
Profound thoughts of Sean Ryther, you know, wishing for wins in his festive message from that point of view. Well, we're kind of doing almost a relay as far as this edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion for Ipswich Town, is concerned, because we now move back over the Irish Sea into Tipperary and welcome writer extraordinaire Jenny Finch to Fly Me to the Moon. And Jenny, as I was saying to Sean, none of us really kind of came up with the notion of we would lose to Bristol City and then thrash Preston North End 4-0 and then lose to Leeds 3-2. So you can't say that being a Borough fan isn't anything but entertaining these days.
It's certainly very exciting. It's a bit of a roller coaster ride, isn't it?
A cliche which in this particular instance is very apt, especially when you bear in mind that, of course, Tony Mowbray, with Sunderland on exactly the same number of points as Middlesbrough, has now obviously ceased to be the manager of Sunderland and presumably is available if required to take on board various other bits and pieces. I mean, we talked about the tremendous, tremendously busy programme that we've got over the next few weeks. Clearly we'll hear from Rob in terms of his connection with Michael Carrick and the press things from his perspective. But this Ipswich Town match is interesting in a number of ways. I mean, as we look at the table, we see obviously that Ipswich not quite over the hills and far away, because basically they're on 45 points. They've had a little bit of an erratic series of away forms, etc. Three wins, one draw, and one defeat in their last five matches, etc. Middlesbrough, of course, 18 points behind with 27 points, but just 3 points behind Hull City, obviously in the final playoff position. So is it a case of half full, half empty? Where would you see this one going?
I think the season's half full at the moment. What worries me is looking at this run of six matches coming up through the rest of December, not counting Ipswich, is there sufficient depth in the squad? Are there enough uninjured and fit players who can slot in and actually do this? In some ways, the cup match against Port Vale is a bit of a curve ball, but on the other hand, you do have to go for it. You have to go for it. I think if they can stay fit and they can pace themselves a bit, yeah, they've also got four away matches, but a couple of them aren't too far. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, no pun intended, but also we're using cliches, and as a good author, you know the value of a good cliche. After Ipswich Town, it's another home game on the 13th of December, which again we'll talk loosely about in terms of this particular podcast. Home to the Tigers of Hull City. Then 3 days later, away to Swansea City, and then another 3 days later, the Carabao Cup quarterfinal against Port Vale, and then of course 4 days after that, home to West Bromwich Albion. Just ahead of their Boxing Day away match to the delights of Rotherham, which followed 3 days after that by an away match at Huddersfield. We're pretty much looking at maybe where Borough could be either going for a real playoff push or, as you've said in previous times, possible mid-table mediocrity by the end of the year, I would have thought.
I think so. I think that kind of schedule is going to wear down anybody. They're doing pretty well at the moment. Yeah, they're 12th, but there are four teams who are on 27 points. Several of whom look a bit more shaky, and Sunderland will be a bit shaky, having got rid of Mowbray, who not, you know, I'm not the greatest Mowbray fan, but he's a decent manager, and why that happened, I do not know. And so I think Borough can maybe climb a little further, but I think they're really going to be stretched over the next month or so. And everything is going to rest on that.
I mean, I suppose concertina is the best way of actually looking at it because, as I say, Hull City in sixth place with 30 points. And then you are literally looking at from seventh position with Blackburn Rovers right the way through to Bristol City in 14th place, just literally separated by 3 points.
Yeah.
So a huge clump there. I think it's fair to say that despite the very worrying start, unless there's a complete collapse in 24, the likelihood of actually joining Rotherham United, Sheffield Wednesday, QPR, and possibly Huddersfield in a relegation scrap has probably gone. Although, again, it's interesting to see again another new manager who took over at Birmingham City, of course, Wayne Rooney, managed to successfully move them from a comfortable playoff position in sixth down to 15th, literally, with I think one win in five, basically, two defeats and two draws. So
That
maybe
takes
the.
skill, real talent.
Yeah, the new manager bounce back, perhaps possibly not working in the case of Wazza, but you know, who knows? Let's go for predictions, though. Let's go for this. And again, these can be wildly on the ball or wildly off base. So let's go with the Borough versus the Tractor Boys. Your thoughts on Middlesbrough versus Ipswich? Obviously, up tomorrow, if or indeed maybe 2 days, depending on how soon you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, Ipswich have been doing very well and they've got a good run of form. But I think Borough can at least hold them to a draw. So I'd go for 1-1 or maybe even 2-1 to Borough because they're really smarting over what happened at Leeds.
And of course, there was the success against Leicester City to provide further inspiration that when it comes to top of the table teams, they actually can actually raise their game slightly, which is positive. Okay, not top of the table, but in playoff positions, etc. Borough versus Hull City, arguably a classic North Yorkshire derby, although there are still many people who debate that and say, no, it's Borough Sunderland at the derbies. Well, those people who believe Middlesbrough is still North Yorkshire would say it's got to be Borough Hull City.
I think so. I could be boring and go for another draw, but it's a home match and they'll really want to show what they can do to the home fans. So I think Borough will take it 1-0.
And away to Swansea, obviously, seeing if the Swans can continue. I mean, Swansea in particular have also had what you might describe as a fairly checkered recent history. Currently Not doing that well as far as the championship are concerned. Although, having said that, everything's relative. They're on 21 points, 6 points adrift of Borough. Obviously, Swansea occupying 18th position.
They are there for the plucking, those Swans. 2-0 to Middlesbrough.
This is looking as though it could potentially be extremely positive from that point of view. So let's move from there to, well, let's go for it. Let's go for this cup scenario. I figured it's worth acknowledging this. What do you feel the Port Vale result is going to bring to the never-ending saga of Middlesbrough Football Club?
It depends if Middlesbrough actually want to win or not, to be brutally frank. If it's just too much and they're going to let some of their good trainees and younger players have a run out, it could be very close. If they actually want to win, then I think they're possibly going to do a Preston on Port Vale, to be honest.
Interesting. Okay. I think Preston's main rivals are Blackpool, if we're looking at sort of lines from that. The Potteries versus the Smoggies could be a whole different area. But that's to be fine. We'll probably be back for another Flying to the Moon podcast ahead of West Bromwich Albion. But do you have a festive message you'd like to share with the FMTTM fraternity as we sort of conclude this particular segment, Jenny?
I have indeed. I wish everybody a very happy Christmas, a peaceful season, an excellent new year, and I'm really looking forward to how things shape out next year as well. I have really enjoyed being part of this team and being part of this podcast. Thank you for having me and enjoy.
Well, we've heard from Sean. We've heard from Jenny. They've given us their predictions. They're all locked in. Now, of course, we get to the pièce de résistance ahead, of course, of the bonus press conference that we'll be adding to this. We've, of course, got Chris Bartley and Rob Nichols with us. Chris, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Alex?
Very good. And I'm pleased to see that you managed to chase your router and have improved your bandwidth accordingly, which is always nice. So that's good. Technical little jargon there, but what the hey. Oh no, it's still low. Never mind. Rob Nichols, Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion for Ipswich Town, is with us now. Do we
Oh.
talk Leeds United, or do we actually put that behind us? Do we talk Tony Mowbray, or do we sort of say, well, if that's what Sunderland have decided to do with the same number of points as Middlesbrough, so be it? Or do we actually go elsewhere? Where do you want to take us, Rob?
Well, let's start with Leeds because I thought it was I think as we're going to hear from Michael Carrick later, it was a kind of valiant effort in the end with 10 men going against a team that have got with the parachute payments, they're so much more equipped than those three that came down are so much more equipped than the rest of the division.
You know
And
what's
but
going to happen,
obviously,
Rob, don't you? That in a
go
few, in
on.
about 2 years' time, when Middlesbrough are in a similar position and they get relegated, there'll be no more
Yeah.
parachute payments.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. We'll vote it out, and we'll be the victims of that. Yeah, totally. No, I mean obviously it means a great deal to people in Middlesbrough that the Leeds game, and it does, and the other way around as well. And that's shown by the fact that there's been so many red cards in that fixture over the years. It isn't just a run of the mill game. So it was a real disappointment when you go 1-0 up in the first couple of minutes to be like 2-1 down 2 minutes later or whatever. That's a real weakness that we've got conceding those goals, but what an exciting game it was, and what a contest and what an atmosphere, and it's games like that that we didn't think were going to happen this season. If we're honest, we think back to the start of the season, the way we were performing at the start of it, and it just I put this in the editorial today, Alex, and the fact it just shows you shouldn't be so short-termist, and I think that the short-termist club in the northeast at the moment is Sunderland. As you rightly said, to terminate Tony Mowbray's employment, they'll be hoping they've got some fantastic master plan coming up. But yeah, it just seems ridiculous decision, really. But that's for them to do.
Exactly. We can't actually worry about our weir side
No.
neighbours, etc. They've got other fish to fry. Ipswich Town, of course, the meat in a Yorkshire Derby sandwich, because, of course, after Ipswich, it's Hull City.
Yeah, it's a weird one when people call it a derby match. It's quite a long way from Middlesbrough to Hull,
But still in
but
Yorkshire.
yeah, it's still in Yorkshire. Well, when Chris and me were born, we were born in the North Riding of
Yes,
Yorkshire.
East Ridings. And let's throw it's a festive season, so let's bring in Thomas Bartley. Thomas, do you know why we've got a North Ridings, a West Ridings, and an East Ridings, but we don't have a South Ridings? Why is that, Thomas?
That is an excellent question, and one that I am ashamed to say that until you've just put it to me, I've never really thought about before. So I'm looking forward to hearing why.
Well, Riddings in the Norse, I believe, stands for third. So basically what they did was divide the county up into thirds. So the reason there isn't a South Riddings is because it's not quarters. So they have a West, they have a North, they have an East, but nothing else. A bit of Yorkshire history there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I mean, Robert, I know you're the historian, but I couldn't resist that. I'm sure you knew that story.
Thomas is studying history, so that's a good one.
Embarrassment.
There,
it's all good. Again, Thomas, in terms of this whole system, I mean, 27 points is not bad. 3 points away from the playoff zone with, of course, Hull City currently in sixth place. We were saying with Jenny that this is a range of fixtures which are, to use the proverbial cliche, coming thick and fast, pretty much as we discussed on the last podcast, every 3 or 4 days. But a successful run could see Borough extraordinarily well placed at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think that's always the thing about these games in the lead up to Christmas, which is that if you can have a good run, I mean, I would say that in the last two seasons, probably we've had a pretty good Christmas period, which has set us up quite well for a promotion campaign in the new year. So, yeah, and I think a lot when you look at some of the games as well, I mean, you know, particularly I would say West Brom, well, obviously Ipswich on Saturday, they've had a fantastic start, but also West Brom at home on the 23rd as well. Obviously, the Port Vale game as well, but for different reasons. And then looking beyond that, you know, you've got Coventry and other teams in the new year. So, yeah, it's certainly a big chance for us now to get a run going and really start the new year on a good footing.
We'll be hearing from Michael Carrick later in this podcast, of course, Rob, but I see the Michael Carrick Foundation and the MFC Foundation, there's a balance there in terms of the letters M and C, have come together for a major Christmas appeal.
Yes, there's like a triple appeal on Saturday before the game. And the Michael Carrick Foundation, it's something they've been doing in the past. The great success is to get boots, particularly for young kids, football boots and trainer shoes, because there's a great shortage. Obviously, kids grew out of boots in no time at all. There's been various appeals, and this is the latest one. Obviously, it's really important with it coming up to Christmas, but it's a three-part appeal because there's also a Middlesbrough Food Bank appeal. Again, very important this time of year. And then there's the Salvation Army are doing an appeal for unwrapped toys, which they will donate to people, to families that might otherwise, that the kids might otherwise not have got toys. So all those things are, there's a couple of vans parked behind the North Stand from 12 noon on Saturday, right up until kickoff, and anyone can come along and donate any of those items or actually donate money, because they do take money as well. Because often people got the match and they can't actually bring any food or whatever with them. But yeah, look forward to any of those items being donated. It'll make a big difference to people's Christmas.
Yeah. Of course, back in the day, I recall football boots mostly came in black. You could, of course, if you were really ambitious, go for the white Alan Ball type boots.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're so colourful these days, are they not?
They certainly are. But I didn't realise just how many football teams don't have boots and trainers. And so that they tell me at the foundation that they can find it. Doesn't matter how many they get, they can find a home for them and home very quickly, which is quite sad, but it's great that people are so generous. And they often get they often get boots that are almost new, sometimes in the boxes. And yes, as you say, of all colours and all hues.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chris, you may remember this, and again, you may not. Rob, possibly likewise. There was a very famous cartoon character called Billy. Billy, who had his boots, basically Billy's boots, I believe, in the Tiger, where he had the boots of Deadshot Keen, and that made him play like a fictional character. Obviously, who knows? That could be another sort of way forward. Do you remember Billy's boots, Chris Bartley?
I do. I remember it very well. He was kind of, I think it was parodied a little by Viz Comic, wasn't it? With was it Billy the Fish?
Billy the Fish, yeah.
situation was happening in the game that could be 5-0 down with 3 minutes left, he would always manage to turn that deficit into victory.
Precisely. Obviously, Michael Carrick heavily inspired by that, which is important. So, Rob, what's the general atmosphere? I mean, we'll obviously pick this up with respect to the conference. Is it mostly optimistic? I mean, none of us got anywhere close to the predictions, obviously, following the Bristol City result. Then, of course, the thrashing of Preston North End. And then, as we said, the Leeds United game. So,
yeah.
If nothing else, entertaining.
Yeah, and obviously, I think the last time we spoke was around the Leicester City game when we actually beat the league leaders with that, and it was their first ever away defeat. But obviously, our injuries and suspensions mean that I think Chris, did you say there was about 10 players possibly out for the match? It's like, and Michael Carrick wouldn't be drawn on who if anyone might be fit. And what the team would be. So he said he's concentrating on those that are available. So we've got two suspensions and lots of injuries, and there's two players that are on the verge of a suspension coming up as well. So with all these matches coming up, it means we're going to have very few sort of options available to us. So we're optimistic, but guardedly, because we're not quite sure what team is going to go out. The great thing is that the club that we've turned it round so much that whoever goes out, there's at 11, there's a sort of belief and they're playing well as a team, and but for not phenomenal to be against somebody like Ipswich, because Ipswich have completely bucked the trend coming up from the third flight and doing so well. We keep writing them off, but they just keep coming back and slaughtering teams, really.
Another one of Tony Mowbray's old sides, of course.
I know,
that's right. Another side. Now, something we'll actually sort of will be doing, and we won't do it today, but I'm going to give it to the team to actually think about, because hopefully in the next 7 days we'll be putting this together, and I'll be setting up individual Zoom links from that point of view. It's something Dave Roberts has actually asked for, in terms of he's putting in a Borough Christmas special for the Reds to actually be featured on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So maybe you should note this down, Thomas and Chris. I haven't even shared it with Jenny and Sean as yet, but the key things, I'm sure you're familiar with this, Rob. We're looking for your favourite Borough moment ever, your favourite Borough moment of 2023, your favourite Christmas song, your favourite song of 2023, your favourite ever song. Obviously, Dave Roberts channeling his inner musician side of things here. And, of course, then pièce de résistance, a 10 to 20 second voice message with your Borough hope for 2024. Rob, we can say, as Dave's channel also carries Fly Me to the Moon, if you don't go to this via the Podbean site, that's the least we can do in terms of getting the full views and not you know, having a fully inclusive set of views from that. What do you say, Rob?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So there we are. Things to ponder on. Okay, Chris, what do you feel Borough will need to do to beat Ipswich, or is it a case of, well, we beat Leicester, so we can obviously beat teams that are nigh on 20 points ahead of us. No problem. Let's make a start to that tomorrow, or indeed whenever you're listening to this.
I think we'll just need to cut out the silly mistakes that sometimes have kind of like set us really with a mountain to climb, really. I know there's some of the passing that we've had in the Leeds game and the Preston game has been really good, but I don't like some of the, I don't know, it's a bit, fills me with anxiety, some of the things that we're doing. These passing triangles in our own box, I think, just like kind of makes it really tricky for ourselves, I think, sometimes. So I would sooner have a sort of strategy that we had against Leicester, where we didn't concede any goals first, and then I think you just give yourself a good platform to possibly win the game.
Thomas, do you agree with that? Or would you say, no, the best form of defence is attack, so we must just go for it? I mean, look at what Unai Emery achieved with respect to Aston Villa. That's so painful, I can't believe I mentioned it, but what the heck?
No, I think some discipline is definitely in order, particularly for Saturday. I mean, given the way that Ipswich have started the season, I think it's important that we don't just go gung-ho. you know, particularly because I don't think anyone would sort of begrudge a point really on Saturday. I think that would be a pretty decent result. So yeah, we've just got to be careful. I mean, it's very tricky with the amount of injuries and stuff. We having to put together a bit of a makeshift 11 at the moment, but yeah, fingers crossed anyway.
Okay, so positively optimistic. In case people are thinking, isn't it now about the time we do a classic piece of poetry? We're holding that back, basically. Rob and myself are kind of obviously going to be in deep rehearsals, deep mode for that. So it'll be probably being broadcast ahead of the next Fly Me to the Moon, which will also be in time for us, basically. In fact, quite frankly, I don't know why Dave Roberts doesn't actually sort of just simply do a compilation of all of our Jimmy Flynn renditions and just set that to a suitable beat. And I think that'd be a number one, you know, almost overnight, really. I'm just saying.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rob, again, likewise, are you quietly optimistic as we head into, as I say, the Ipswich Town or the Tractor Boys? Then, of course, we have the Hull City game and more as the days rapidly move along.
I think they're very difficult fixtures. But that's what we like, don't we? We and that's and the team seems to revel in those fixtures. So I don't know how it's going to go because we don't know what sort of teams we're going to be able to field. But I feel sure that they're going to be good watchable matches. And at this stage of the season, that's what I want really, a good contest. Mm. Obviously, we prefer Middlesbrough to win.
All right. Well, we've got initial predictions. Let's do the round of predictions. Chris Bartley, starting off with you, good self. What are you going to go for as far as Borough versus Ipswich Town are concerned?
1-0 to Borough.
Tight. Obviously following through in the Leicester City game. That point of view, Thomas?
Well, given what I've just been saying about a draw would be a good result, I feel obliged almost to defend the draw. so I will go 1-1.
Interesting. And Rob?
I think we'll do it 2-1. See Sam Greenwood come back into the team and score once again.
I mean, again, there is quite a nice squad that's building up, as you've alluded to earlier, really. I mean, there's some good players there. And let's just hope that the transfer window, which of course opens up in January, doesn't actually decimate once again. Because that would be that must be something I think Michael Carrick must be at least aware of, that suddenly, you know, you're getting sort of players that are finding their form, etc. You don't want to lose them.
Yeah, I think most of us expect more case of players coming in. He was talking today about at the press conference, people saying you had your targets at the start of the season. Surely that must have changed because of the injuries. And he was talking about, well, you don't want to change too much because your players are injured, but they're not injured forever. You know, you don't want to be based on that. But it has to be said that there are two or three players that are out long term. So I'm not sure that we've got many people that we have to worry about leaving yet. I think Hayden Hackney is obviously the star performer, but surely
you don't think Sunderland will be putting in a bid for Michael Carrick? Just saying.
I wonder where Sunderland are gonna go. So they're not gonna get any joy here, no.
Okay. All right. Next round of predictions start off with Thomas. Borough versus Hull City.
I will go for a 1-0 win against Hull City. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it could be quite interesting that. Rob, what's your thought?
Yeah, Hull looked really good when they played us towards the end of the last season. And I thought then that Liam Rossini looks like a really good manager in the making. I don't think Sunderland are going to be able to prize him away, but that there was something good going on there. So it'll be a really difficult game again. And I wouldn't mind that scoreline that Thomas said. I'll go for 1-0 as well.
And Chris?
I'm going for a 3-0 because I think the last time we played on the Blight at Riverside, we've kind of really turned it on a little. So I'm very confident that we'll turn it on Wednesday.
Excellent. And let's wrap up with the trip to Wales again to see the sides that tend to be very erratic in all sorts of ways, really. Swansea City, Jenny was quite convinced this was going to be a walkover as far as Borough was concerned. Do you agree, Chris?
No, I'm always worried about this, the potential of them having a new manager and everything. So even though I went for two wins against Ipswich and Hull, I think I'm going to go for a a 1-1 draw, because I think they have a new manager in and it could be a bit of a tricky game.
Be ironic if it was Tony Mowbray. I'm just saying, I don't think he's done Swansea as yet, but you know. And Rob.
Yeah, it will be. It has been a tricky fixture for us in the last few years. It's obviously a long way to go. We'll win it 2-1. Yeah.
Thomas, do you share that optimism, which basically means that we could be getting out of possible 9 points, at least 7 and probably 9?
You know what? Inspired by the brilliant win over Preston and just generally the whole Christmas spirit, I'm going to go for a thumping 3-0 win on the road at Swansea.
Whoa!
See, that's what happens, Rob, when you actually, and it is a gamble, admit that, because normally I have a backdrop for the listener, etc., just to visualise it. And you can see the shots, obviously, on Facebook as well, of Michael Carrick. But I thought, let's go Jimmy Stewart. Let's go It's a Wonderful Life. Let's go classic Christmas festive time, basically. You know, every time a bell rings, a Borough player will get his wings and score, particularly if you're talking about, you know, the sort of flank operator. So, yeah, the message is actually there. Okay, we're going to hear from the press conference in a matter of moments now. But before we get to that, a couple of critical ones. First of all, how can people subscribe, possibly with a Christmas offer as well, to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to be launching this Christmas offer next week, Alex, just so that people don't think that they will get this current fanzine out of the way, because after this fanzine, we've got five issues left for the season. So if you
I'm sure there might be a bonus one if Borough get to Wembley for the Carabao Cup
final. Yeah, maybe. But I'm not putting it on the website until Monday. So it will be under subscription on Monday. Nice. Just so that people don't think that it get mixed up.
Yeah, it's always good. Keep it simple. Very important.
And we'll send a Christmas card out as well. Anyone who subscribes for Christmas, we'll send the Christmas card out. And then you'll get January, February, March, April and May fanzines.
It's just awesome. So the final thing, of course, those because we haven't had a chance, of course, to comment on articles by Chris, by Thomas, by Sean, primarily because I haven't seen that anything that's gone into the actual thing. Of course, Rob, if there's any highlights, you'd say buy the fanzine because it's got this fabulous article in.
Yeah, we have got a big tribute in the centre pages from Tosh Warwick about Teesside Tell, because this is the first fanzine since
Terry Venables left us. Yes.
So we've got a big piece by another historian, Tosh Warwick, all about the Teesside Tell effect. Also got a little bit of a dedication to a guy called Dave Golightly, who passed away recently. And he used to be sort of a backroom person at Fly Me to the Moon. He used to keep us all going with his sort of his dry wit and his dry cakes, because he was a baker as well. So it's sad to see that he's departed, but just a tribute to him, really, Dave Golightly.
Excellent. Okay, it's time for those final 7 words, Rob, as we wrap up the sequence, which we give thanks to Sean earlier in the programme, who kicked the whole thing off. Thanks to Jenny, and of course, thanks to Chris and Thomas Barkley before we head into the press conference. So, Rob, over to you, please.
Should we count down to 3, 2, 1?
I will. 3, 2, 1.
Come on, Borough.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough.
Michael, good afternoon. I've wondered what the... Let's start on some reasons to be cheerful ahead of the Ipswich game. You put 2 past Leeds. If it hadn't been for the red card and that penalty shout...
And the offside.
Result.
And the offside for the third goal, yeah.
Up against another top three team, what reasons for optimism?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Really looking forward to the game. You know, we've played teams at the top of the league this season and largely played pretty well and been involved in good games, so certainly looking forward to the game. And we know it'll be a tough game. You know, they're on an incredible run over a long period of time, Ipswich, and a real kind of settled team, and doing terrifically well in the league. So it's going to be, you know, a good test for us, a good challenge for us. And but yeah, of course, we're looking forward to it. You know, the boys will relish the challenge again and hopefully win the game.
You said after that Leeds game, the dressing room was pretty quiet. Has that atmosphere changed a bit as you come up run up to the next game?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just the initial frustration and a good sign of disappointment, really, and that the boys felt that there was more for us in the game that we didn't quite get hold of. But you know, that wears off, and had a few days to get over that for sure. And it's the next game is always the biggest one, the most important one, and and I think I'll kind of the focus and the adrenaline motivation, if you like, playing against the team that's right up at the top of the league certainly does that for us.
I wonder if you felt for Tony Beaugrey this week, and I'm sure I won't be the only person who asks you about this. I mean, injury hit squad, he has had 3 points off the playoffs. I wonder how much sympathy that evoked from you.
Yeah, of course. Look, it's in the position I'm in, you know, it's never nice to see a fellow manager or a coach lose their job for whatever reason. And I've known Tony and spoke to him over a period of time from being here and playing against him a few times. And he's a good man, you know. And yeah, it's unfortunate. It's part of the business now, and part of the sport, if you like. But it's never nice. It's never nice. I don't know in terms of going on what's happened there. It's not for me to comment. But I wish certainly Tony all the best and whatever's next for him.
People talk about this league being very hard to get out of. Do you think his departure was partly a reflection of the constant pressure there is, even at this stage of a season, to be constantly pushing towards that at least a playoff position?
Yeah, there's no hiding from the fact, you know, everyone wants answers and results here and now and instant. I think that's kind of the modern world and everyone wants everything straight away. Patience is maybe getting less and less, but that's how it is, and I understand that in terms of my role here at the club. I've got an incredibly fantastic support within the club anyway in terms of the patience and trying to build something. Working together and enable us to do that. So I feel very fortunate to be in that position and don't really feel that pressure from within. If anything, it's pressure from myself to want to win and to do things better. So I'm in a very fortunate position to be able to do that.
You answered my next question, so thank you very much. Good luck. Cheers.
How we're looking on the injury front, Michael? It was looking pretty depleted after the heat.
Yeah, I think it's probably just better off talking about who's fit, who's available in terms of the players that from last week and how well they've played. You know, we've got a long list that are not available for whatever reason, and that's not my focus, to be honest. I think it's more getting the boys who are fit and ready and available to getting ready for the game. It's a great challenge for us, you know, to certain players that haven't played so much and now in the team, great, making an impact, the opportunity, fantastic. I'm actually really looking forward to the game and this spell of games to see what we're capable of doing.
How's Paddy's back after Leeds?
Yeah, well, we'll just have to wait and see. He's had a back spasm, it's taken a while to settle, but whether it settles in time or not, we'll have to see. Is what it is, we'll deal with it.
I appreciate
you
don't like to give too much away on the injury.
No, it's just more. I think it's more for me of like boys' injuries. We get suspensions, and it's easy to talk about that. But really, it's about the game. It's about preparing for the game. I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I see it's a great challenge, and the boys are in good spirits and in good shape and are playing well. Felt a disappointment the last week, but looking forward to what we can do next.
Could any of the boys who were absent at Leeds
come back? Yeah, about injuries again.
Some of them who were a bit closer, could they be back in time? Or
it's just about what who's fit for us and working together to see exactly the answer I've just given you.
But this week we saw another example of Steve Gibson's altruistic nature towards the football club. And in your time here, a little over a year, how have you found working with Steve? How's he been as a chairman?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. I think the biggest thing I've just answered before there is, I know what's expected of me, but I know the support that's there for me all the time and the patience and lets me get on largely with my role and my job and doesn't interfere, but he's always there and I totally feel he's utmost level of support. So that's the biggest thing I can say really. And it goes without saying what he's done over the years for this football club and for the area. So, but for me personally, yeah, he's been fantastic.
Come up against a manager that you know quite well from your days at Manchester United together this weekend. How much do you look forward to that reunion and what do you make of the job he's done at Ipswich?
Yeah, he's done an incredible job, which I'm not surprised with one bit. And I've obviously worked very closely with Kieran and over quite a period of time and got to know him and to know how good he is. One of the best coaches you could ever hope for, really, and one of the best that I've come across. So I'm delighted for him. He's a good person and he's a terrific coach, and delighted to see him doing so well as in management. You know, from when he took over to where they are now, and the run that they've been on, the consistency and how they play, it's testament largely to him. So, but again, not surprised. I knew from the start how good he was when I first seen him working with the youth team, the under-18s at United, when I was playing, and then got to work with him through the first team and closely, and I knew from that stage that he'd go on to have a terrific career.
Just the last one from me, Matthew Hobby's loan at San Jose came to an end and he's come back to the club. I appreciate he can't be registered to play until January, but you know, is the door open for him essentially to try and work his way back in here?
Yeah, so it's obviously with timing, really. It's nothing Matthew can do until January. So he's back training us. He's here. He's staying fit and see what's next for him.
Just on Kieran, Michael, did he speak to you before taking the Ipswich job?
Did he speak to me? Yeah, he did. Yeah, I remember it wasn't long after I had left United. It was maybe a week or two after, if I'm right. Yeah, we speak a lot, you know, we're good friends, we speak a lot. Obviously this week is what it is, and it's kind of business, and we've both got our jobs to do, but I did, and as I say, I can't really speak highly enough of him. He's an incredible coach, and not surprised he's done that, and whatever pathway, you know, he's grown the football club, he's grown them as a team, and he's doing an incredible job.
And when you say you speak a lot and you know each other inside out like that, and I know you can't really do this because you don't have any options, but is there a temptation to try and spring a bit, do you know what I mean, to try and catch them off guard a little bit, because I guess you'll know each other so well. And
yeah, of course, listen, we worked in each other's pockets for so long at United, and kind of emptied each other's football and brains onto each other, so there's definitely that. Of course, there's evolving, there's different ideas, of course there is. Largely you are kind of what you are in terms of your principles, and I know how he thinks. I'm not saying I know what he's going to do on Saturday. I'd be very silly to think that, but he's got an idea, and he'd be exactly the same with me. So, but you know what, we're not playing, so it's not really about us on Saturday. It's about Middlesbrough against Ipswich and two teams on the pitch, really. So it'll be good to see him after the game, for sure it will be, and catch up, but before that it's preparing the boys best as we can for the game.
Just asking about Matt Clark, if he starts on Saturday, and obviously gives the penalty away when he came on at Leeds, given he was thrust straight into it against one of the league's best attacks, and he settled after that, is he ready to start?
I think Clark has been ready for a good number of weeks, to be honest, and it's just that opportunity, you know, and I've said it a lot again, sometimes you're in the squad and it feels like it's a long way and you can't see your next game because there seems to be two or three players ahead of you, and then quite quickly it can change. But yeah, Clark's ready. I think he showed that in terms of his performance last week. It was great to get him on the pitch before that, and I said then that he was a big part of the squad and he was ready to play, and it's definitely, it doesn't change now.
Kieran Scott recently said that kind of when the summer transfer window closed, you knew what areas you were potentially looking at straight away for January. Has the injuries and what's happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks changed your plans or had to alter your thinking slightly?
No, I think you've got to be careful with the injuries because, yeah, certainly at this moment in time we're missing quite a few. You know, we're hoping by the time the actual window comes around then we'll have a good few of them back anyway. So, and then of course, anyway, you know, you're getting a player in for when someone gets fit. It's just because you lose a player for a number of weeks or even a couple of months doesn't mean that you need to get one in. That's always the balance anyway. So I don't think it dramatically changes our plans for that. It's just unfortunate when you have got a lot of injuries that it is kind of outside of the window. Probably be typical that everyone's back, you know, come January.
But I guess you talked a lot about kind of being prepared for the unexpected come a window. What the last few weeks does show is that that can happen. You know, if that happens again in 3 or 4 weeks' time, God forbid.
Yeah, it can happen. Anything can happen. You can't be prepared. You know, we're prepared as well as we feel we can be for different scenarios and balance within the squad. And I think, to be honest, you know, the teams. The balance of the teams we've been able to put out and the quality of the teams we've been put out, considering we've had sort of 7, 8, 9, 10 players missing from games, is credit to the squad and the caliber of player. But it is impossible, you know, of what's going to happen in the next few weeks, what's going to happen in January. You know, hopefully we'll have more to choose from. But at the same point, in terms of who is available, and I've got absolutely no problem with it. I think we've got a good team. We've got a good balance, so I'm still looking forward to the games ahead.
Brilliant, thanks a lot.
Hi, Mel. What did stand out with Keown and his coaching methods? Because you said it was as soon as you saw it.
It's quite a lot, to be honest. I think his brain, how he thinks about it. He's got a very good football brain and for details, and his eye for details, and his knowledge is incredible in terms of what you can store and remember and put into practice. On the grass, he's fantastic as a coach, and how he structures his sessions and his weeks. Just an all-round, you know, really top coach. So, I learned quite a lot from him. We come from very different backgrounds, you know. Obviously, I came from playing, and Keane's gone through the coaching from pretty much the start when we were actually at Tottenham together. He was in the reserves when I was at Tottenham, and then he got injured and went through that direction. So I picked his brains quite a lot, coming from different angles, and I think we ended up learning a bit off each other. I probably learned more of him than he did off me.
Obviously, you knew he was going to be a good coach. Did you both discuss your managerial ambitions? Did you see him becoming the front man?
I wasn't sure, to be honest. I really wasn't sure. I think I knew he was capable of it, and I think that showed really. It always is a step really until you take it. You're not really sure. I don't think anyone is, but he certainly took it. And he looks like a natural now. And as again, I'm not surprised one bit.
And just last one for me. I've been in the news for not such good reason in recently. Is the Manchester United education, people like yourself and him, still one of the best you can possibly have?
For many reasons, yeah. I think dealing with Manchester United as a football club is an incredible football club, and the size of it and the learning experience of that. Some good. Some more challenging times, and I think you learn from that as a player, learn from that as a coach, and certainly helps you from no end. And you take that experience as experience, you know. It's great if you use it in the right way. That's what I'm trying to do.
Thanks, Michael.
How did Keown deal with some of the players at Manchester United? He was a young coach, he didn't have a playing career, similar ages, probably younger than some. How did he adapt to that, and how did the players find working with him?
Natural, to be honest. Natural, just was good at what he did. As I said, fantastic football brain, fantastic on the grass, fantastic knowledge, and how he puts it across the players. Pretty natural, to be honest.
Do you share the same footballing philosophy?
I hate that word. What is it, really? Nothing towards you, by the way. We helped prepare a team along with Ollie for a number of years, so we obviously seen a lot of similar things to be able to work together like that. And as I said before, you kind of unload all your knowledge on each other and feed off it and end up developing some sort of understanding. And we think in similar ways. Yeah.
Yeah, and just given how well he's done in management, do you feel that he's sky's the limit for him, and you know, there's no end to his potential?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much in terms of, I think, respect the Ipswich and as a football club, and a fantastic football club, really big football club with great history and doing great at the moment. So who knows what's going to happen with Keown. I just know how good he is and what he's capable of doing, and I wish him all the best, but not obviously on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Can I ask you about Ipswich beyond Keown? What impresses you about Ipswich as the club, what they've done in the last 12, 18 months?
Yeah, I think the stability, obviously Keown's a large part of that, but I think the stability within the group in terms of think they've recruited well and for what they needed, and been quite consistent with the style or the principles and how they're playing, so that you can see there's a real they've grown as a team and they've grown in as a club, and they've been, I don't know the ins and outs of the ownership of the club, but I think there's been a good patience, and you can see there's a sort of that plan and strategy that they've stuck to. Listen, success and winning games makes that a hell of a lot easier, and I understand that. But it's a, you know, full history as a club. It's a very big club, and you know they're pushing to get into that next league.
Has Kieran said anything to you about internally they do this, they do that, they've really helped me in this way, that way?
You said one or two things, yeah. Mostly positive, I'm not sure.
I'll leave it at that.
Could
go back to Leeds last week. Is there a sense of pride about the way that the 10 men in the second half stayed in that battle, and obviously when you like Woodward stopped us from getting an equaliser, really?
Yeah, for sure. And so unfortunately, it's not where we want to be, but you know, West Brom was similar. With the West Brom game, we felt that we could have got something out of the game as well, even with 10 men. So, keep going back to what I keep repeating, really, is we know what we're capable of, and going to away in these places and doing that for in spells. It's frustrating when we don't get the other side of it and we don't get the results that we want, or in other parts, and maybe conceding goals when we feel like we shouldn't be conceding goals and things. So it's the whole package, really. But certainly in terms of attitude, effort, team spirit, all the things I keep going on about, I couldn't fault the boys in that respect at all.
And that puts us in a good place going against Ipswich, who are obviously battling at the top of the league. We've got no fears of going against Ipswich then.
No, I think we look at every game and look forward to the game and try to win the game. I think the season's proved that. It's not as easy as that, of course it's not, but we're certain we'll go into the game looking to do that. That won't change.
And you're talking about not wanting to dwell on the injuries, but it, you've said before about it gives opportunities. And obviously Lattie Lath took his chance phenomenally at the start of the Leeds game. He's a player that's... It must be a big change for him in every way, and he must really benefit from a run in the team.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's Manu looked really sharp and kind of offered exactly what we know he's capable of offering in big moments for us, and maybe could have had more as well, because his movement was that good and he's arriving in certain positions. So I've said it for a bit, you know, certain times during the season some players will play and they'll hit the peak, and then other times it might be others, and you've got to manage that and find the right time. Manu's certain looking sharp and coming into some good form and scoring goals and looking dangerous, so I'm really excited to see what's to come from him.
And there's just a different sort of question, but you've got the boot appeal on Saturday with the MFC Foundation. Just how important is that players being able, young players being able to have boots and everything?
Yeah, it's vital. I think obviously I've seen it close quarters and with the various projects with my own foundation and the Football Club Foundation. That for me, it's trying to give young people the equality and the chance to feel a sense of belonging, to be able to turn up and have the right equipment to enjoy football, really, whether that's boots, whether that's trainers or what have you. And, so it's, especially this time of year, I think we're as fortunate as ourselves when we have things. I think it's makes it even more kind of magnified in some ways of what we can do to help others. I'm actually doing 5k a day run at the moment for the foundation, so well, I don't know if anyone wants to sponsor me, you're more than welcome. Any donations, welcome. And I think it's hugely important. So to work along with the Football Club and the Foundation and the various organisations and charities to help others, it's so important. So thank you to everyone who helps, really, and gives the time and effort. It's really important that we do that.